Welcome to the Theatron Project. Episode 10, Cold and Drunk. Hello and welcome to the Theatron Project for this special double feature episode of Cold and Drunk. Yes, for today's program, we have two plays that we're going to be presenting to you in the style of our Cold and Drunk program. The first of which is called A Comedy of Danger. Comedy Danger aired originally on the Columbia Workshop radio program in July 18, 1936. The Columbia Workshop was the precursor to what would eventually become CBS. Following A Comedy of Danger, we have a one-act called A Matter of Husbands, written by Fenric Mollard, translated by Benjamin Glazer, was published in 1923. As with all our Cold and Drunk episodes, we hope that you'll grab a drink and join in on the fun with us. The first opportunity is going to be with A Comedy of Danger. Every time that you hear any of the actors say the word danger, that's an opportunity for a communal drink. The second opportunity to join in on all the fun is with our play, A Matter of Husband. Every time that you hear a studio audience reaction, that's also your cue to take a drink along with the actors. We hope that you enjoy Cold and Drunk. And with no further ado, A Comedy of Danger. A gallery in a Welsh coal mine, 1,000 feet above the surface of the earth.
Oh, the lights have gone out.
What's happened? Where are you?
Here.
Where? I can't find you.
Here. I'm holding your hand. I'm holding my hand out.
I can't find you.
Why, right here.
Oh, what's that?
It's all right. It's only me.
Oh, you did frighten me, touching me suddenly like that. I'd no idea you were so close.
Oh, catch hold of my hand. Whatever happens, we mustn't lose each other.
That's better. But the lights, why have they gone out?
I don't know. I suppose something's gone wrong with the dynamo. They're all turning up again. Yep, yes, they'll turn up again in a minute.
Oh, Jack, I hate the dog.
Oh, cheer up, darling. It'll be all right in a minute or two.
Oh, so frightfully dark down here.
No wonder. There must be nearly 1,000 feet of rock between us and the daylight. Not surprising, it's a bit dusky.
I didn't know there could be such utter blackness as this ever. It's so dark and dangerous. It's as if there was never such a thing as light anywhere. Oh, Jack, it's like being blind.
Oh, they'll turn the light up again soon.
I wish we'd never come down to this beastly mine. I knew something would go wrong.
It'll be all right, dear. It's only the lights.
Where are the others?
Oh, they're just on ahead, not far.
Suppose we get lost.
We can't get lost, Mary, darling. The others will stand still, too, till the lights go up, and then we can easily overtake them. We've only got to wait patiently.
I wish you hadn't wanted to drop behind the others. Oh, Jack, I'm afraid of the dark.
It's my mistake. Buck up, Mary, old girl. We'll be over soon. Listen!
There's someone coming.
Of all the incompetent idiots, turning the lights off just when a party of visitors was seeing the place.
Oh, it's Mr. Box. Hello.
Hello. Who's there? Of all the stupid meddlesome idiots that I have.
Oh, Mr. Box, what happened? Is it all right?
Is it all right indeed? Leaving us suddenly in the dark like this.
But has there been an accident?
Goodness knows. I'd expect anything of a country like Wales. Wretched incompetent, and their houses are full of cockroaches.
Ugh. Oh, well. I suppose the only thing to do is sit and wait for the lights to go up again.
There's no danger. Is there?
No danger, young lady. But it's damned unpleasant.
Oh, I don't know. I'm beginning to think it's rather fun.
Well, if you can find any fun in breaking your shins in the dark...
Why don't you call it... Well, don't you call it fun, being in a mine disaster?
Oh, but... Hey, this isn't a disaster. It's only the lights.
No, of course, silly. You don't think it would... You don't think it would be fun if it were a real disaster, do you? But the lights going out might have meant a dangerous disaster. And think how thrilling it's going to be to talk about it afterwards. I say, Jack.
Yes?
Let's pretend it's serious.
What do you mean?
Well, let's pretend it's a real disaster and we're cooped up here forever and we'll never be able to get out.
Don't joke about it.
Why not? There's no real danger. Is there? Let's get all the thrills we can.
Well, of all the morbid ideas, young people nowadays...
I love thrills. Let's pretend the roof's fallen in and they can't get at us.
All right, but what a baby you are. Here we are, my dear, buried alive.
Oh, Jack!
Alas, they will never find us.
Oh, Jack!
Well?
I am so frightened.
What at?
About the roof having fallen in.
But it hasn't. It's only pretend.
Yes, but when I pretend, it seems so real.
Well, then, don't pretend.
Well, then, I want to pretend. I want to be frightened. Only hold my hand tight, won't you? Go on.
Well, we shall suffocate or starve or both, my dear, in each other's arms.
Oh, Jack!
Even death shall not part us.
Jack, don't. It's too awful.
Oh, poor young lives cut so short.
Oh, don't!
Oh, there'll be articles in all of the newspapers.
Oh, I wish I could read them.
You can't have your funeral and watch it, young lady.
Oh, this is fun. Oh, I wouldn't miss it for anything. Jack!
Quiet! Let go! You're throttling me! Leave go of me!
Jack!
Stop screaming!
No,
you!
Jack!
Quiet! Pull yourself together! We're all right. We were not hurt.
No, sir, we're not hurt. But listen! Water! Danger!
Oh, no! It's only an echo.
Oh, Mr. Box, can't we find the others?
I don't think we could, young lady. It wouldn't be much use to us if we did.
The echo's getting louder. Jack, it isn't an echo. It is water! The mine's flooding will be drowned.
Oh, I tell you, it's an echo.
Oh, Jack, I don't want to die. I won't.
It's got to come sometime, young lady. Isn't it better for it to happen now, in your lover's arms? with both of you together.
You old fool! It is all very well to be stoical about death at your age, but we're young. We've got all of our life before us.
Mm-hmm. But can't you keep quiet about it, then, you young jackanapes? Do you think I want to die either? But it isn't good manners to talk about it. Where would we be if we all started screaming about it, eh? We can at least die like gentlemen.
Die like gentlemen. Indeed. I tell you, it's all very well for an old chap like you who'll die anyhow in a year or two, but it's different for us. We're young.
Well, if you want to make a scene, you shall have one, sir. Do you think it's any easier for the old to die than the young? I tell you, it's harder, sir. Harder. Life is like a trusted friend. It grows more precious as the years go by.
Oh, what's your life worth to the world, huh? Who's dependent on you? What good are you to anyone?
Well, what good are you, young man?
One person is dependent on me, anyway.
You mean that you're loved by this young lady? If you both die, what loss is that to the world? Opposite quantities canceling out!
Oh, you beast! You cruel beast!
I must speak, madam, in common justice to my age, since that young cub has thought of the subject. The old are always being twitted with their unwillingness to die.
Look here. Instead of talking like this, let's do something. Let's make some sort of an attempt to escape the danger.
What do you propose to do, young man?
Why? Look for some way out. We can't stay here and drown like rats in a cage.
Oh, the dark. I do hate the dark. I think I could go more easily if I could see the light. Just once before it happened.
Oh, it's coming closer. Listen.
Yes, you will be us in another 5 minutes.
Pray, heaven, it finishes us off quickly. Oh,
think of dying somewhere out in the open in the sunlight. Me able to see you and you able to see me. Oh, what bliss that would be.
It is strange how little chaps wonder what will happen to them after death. One hardly thinks about it. Yet, I don't know. How thrilled we should be if we meet a chap who really knew. In 5 minutes! In 5 minutes, we're going to know ourselves, all three of us. I've always wanted to travel, and now I'm going to.
Oh, Jack, my poor dear!
You know I'm beginning to feel as excited about it as a child going to the seaside for the first time, aren't you?
Jack, how queer you are. I never looked at it like that.
Well, I wasn't in any hurry to die, but now it's coming. I feel sort of proud of myself, as if it was a wonderful thing to manage to pull off.
Oh, Jack, darling!
There's only one thing I'm sorry about.
What is it?
My work!
Oh!
If it wasn't for that, I'd face the danger.
Oh, the bottom.
I'd face the danger and go to death without caring a tuppenny a damn. I'd die just for the fun of the thing, to see what it felt like.
I shouldn't worry about that if I were you. The world will get on all... The world will get on all right without you. Never you fear. What is your work?
I write poetry.
Bah! You call that work?
Darling, courage.
Oh, Jack, I don't want to die. I hate it. I loathe it. I want to leave.
Don't make it harder, dear. You don't think it's fun for me? Do you? Having to die?
Oh, Jack, it's awful! Only for one more hour! Oh, I do want to live another hour!
Oh, God. God, dear God, can't I be allowed to finish my work?
Blast your work, sir! Do you think you're the only one dying before his time? I tell you, every man dies before his time, even if he lives till he's as old as Methuselah.
Oh, it's up to my knees.
Don't clutch at me like that, Mary. It won't do you any good.
But the water, the currents, washing me away.
Hold it. Hold tight. Gotcha tight.
Oh, if only I could see you.
Just think of all the things I meant to do.
Oh, shut up about the things you meant to do, you young cub. Will you realize we're all in the same boat, and it's as hard for me to die as it is to you? Or worse, by gad, 1,000 times worse.
You holy old sinner! Can't you prepare to get out of this world instead of cursing at me?
Oh, Jack, let's pray!
If you like, marry? I can't.
Oh, Jack, don't!
Help! Help! I can't die! I'm an old man! I won't!
Oh, hold yourself in, you old coward!
Poor Mr. Bax. I'm quite calm now. I don't mind dying a bit.
Nor do I, now it's so close.
Help me! Help me! Help! Help!
It's no good, Mr. Bax. No one could possibly hear us. The only thing is to keep calm. It won't be long now. The danger is at our door.
Oh, help! Help! Help!
What's that? Listen!
Help! Help!
Oh, shut up, Bax! Shut up! We want to listen!
It's up to my waist, Jack!
Oh, my God! Someone tapping! Oh, we're here! Farther along!
They'll find our bodies, that's all.
They'll find us if they're quick enough. Farther along, Steel, that's right!
They can't be quick enough. Besides, I don't want them to find me.
Help! Be quicker, you fool! Quicker! We're drowning!
Stop! Why can't you behave sensibly?
Jack, darling, I'll never leave you.
How do you know they'll let you stay with them, you little fool? What do you know of death and danger? Death being nothing! Not even a drop of the wind or a mere drop of the rain! Not even a drop of ghost clanking in its chains on the staircase!
Oh, Jack, it's up to my chin. Help me.
Oh, let me lift you in my arms, darling. Then, when it gets to my chin, we'll die together.
Tell me if it isn't true what he's been saying.
No, darling. Of course it's not true.
Hurry up, you idiot! You dolts! You blockheads! Smash your way in! We're drowning, I tell you! We're drowning! Quick!
Goodbye, Jack, dear. Well,
they must be nearly through. Oh, this suspense! How much longer before we know whether we're going to live or die? I don't care which, but I do want to know.
Look! There's a light! A hole in the vault! Quick!
They're through!
Quick! Below there! Get up to the roof!
Quick! I'm an old man!
There's a girl here!
My God, Jack, I'm near shame. Come along, young lady. I've got the rope.
Oh, she's fainted.
Never mind. Pass her up.
Here.
You'll be all right. Give you something to write about. Toot, my boy. All right, above there. Have you got her?
Mary, now the next.
Oh, you up you go! Quick, Mr. Bax! The water! The water! It's rising!
Now, my boy, after you! You're more value in the world than I am.
No. Nonsense, sir. After you, you're older man than I. Quick now. There won't be time.
You've got Mary to think of now, Jack. Haul away! Above there!
Oh, no! No, lower me! It's me you're hauling up. It ought to be Bax!
We'll have you up first. There's no time to waste. It's dangerous.
No. Okay. I am all right. Lower away again. Just below there. Hey, Bax! Catch hold! Have you got it? Hey! Bax! Good God, he's gone. Okay, my name's Jim Vidala, and I'm playing Jack.
My name's Katie Watkins, and I'll be playing Mary.
My name is Devon Redmond, and I will be playing Bax.
And now part two of our Cold and Drunk double feature, A Matter of Husbands.
You wished to see me?
Yes.
What can I do for you?
Give me back my husband!
Give you back your husband?
Yes. You are wondering which one he is. He's a blonde man, not very tall, wears spectacles. He's a lawyer, your manager's lawyer. Alfred is his first name.
Oh, I have met him. Yes.
I know you have. I implore you, give him back to me.
You mustn't mistake my silence for embarrassment. I am at a loss because I don't quite see how I can give you back your husband when I haven't got him to give.
You just admitted that you knew him.
Well, that scarcely implies that I have taken him from you. Of course I know him. He drew up my last contract. It seems to me that I have seen him once or twice then, backstage. A rather nice-spoken, fair-haired man. Did you say he wore spectacles?
Yes.
I don't remember him with spectacles.
He probably took them off. He wanted to look his best to you. He's in love with you. He never takes them off when I'm around. He doesn't care how he looks when I'm around. He doesn't love me. Give him back to me.
If you weren't such a very foolish young woman, I should be very angry with you. Wherever did you get the idea that I've taken your husband from you?
He sends you flowers all the time.
That's not true.
It is.
It isn't. He never sent me a flower in all his life. Did he tell you he did?
No. I found it at the florist. The flowers are sent to your dressing room twice a week and charged to him.
That's a lie.
Do you mean to say that I am lying?
I mean to say that someone is lying to you.
And what about this letter?
Letter?
He wrote it to you and he said...
Oh, he wrote it to me? Let me see.
No, I'll read it to you.
my darling. Shan't be able to call you for you at the theater tonight. Urgent business. 1,000 apologies. 10,000 kisses. Alfred.
Whoa. Oh!
I found it on the desk this morning. He probably intended to send it to the theater by messenger. But he forgot it, and I opened it.
Oh, you mustn't cry.
Why mustn't I? You steal my husband, and I mustn't cry. Oh, I know how little it means to you and how easy it is for you. One night you dress like a royal princess, and the next night you undress like a Greek goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And you blacken your eyebrows and redden your lips and wax your lashes and paint your face. You have cosmetics and bright lights to make you seem beautiful. An author's lines to make you seem witty and wise. No wonder a poor, simple-minded lawyer falls in love with you. What chance have I against you in my cheap little frock, my own lips and eyebrows, my own unstudied ways? I don't know how to strut and pose and lure a man. I haven't got Mr. Shakespeare to write beautiful speeches for me. In reality, you may be more stupid than I am, but I admit that when it comes to alluring men, I am no match for you.
This is very interesting case.
What is?
Yours.
Mine? What do you mean?
I mean that I never received a flower or a letter or anything else from your husband. Tell me, haven't you and your husband been getting on rather badly of late?
Yes, of course.
Well, you used to be very affectionate to each other.
Well, yes.
And of late you've been quite cold.
Yes.
Of course, a typical case. Oh, my dear. If you knew how often we actresses met with this sort of thing, it's perfectly clear that your husband has been playing a little comedy to make you jealous, to revive your interest in him.
What?
Do you really think that? Do you mean to say such a thing has happened to you before?
Oh, endless times. It happens to every actress who's moderately pretty and successful. It is one of the oldest expedients in the world, and we actresses are such conspicuous targets for it. There's scarcely a man connected with the theater who doesn't make use of us in some way, sometime or another. Authors, composers, scene designers, lawyers, orchestra leaders, even the managers themselves. To regain a wife or sweetheart's affections, all they need to do is invent a love affair with one of us. The wife's always so ready to believe it. Usually we don't know a thing about it, but even when it is brought to our notice, we don't mind too much. At least we have the consolation of knowing that we're the means of making many a marriage happy, which might otherwise have ended in divorce court.
But how? How could I know?
Oh, there, dear. You mustn't apologize. You couldn't know, of course. It seems so plausible. You fancy your husband in an atmosphere of perpetual temptation in a backstage world full of beautiful sirens, without scruples or morals. One actress you suppose is more dangerous than 100 ordinary women. You hate us and fear us. No one understands that better than your husband, who's evidently a very cunning lawyer. And so he plays on your fear and jealousy to regain the love that you deny him. He writes a letter and leaves it behind him on the desk. Trust a lawyer never to do that unintentionally. He orders flowers for me by telephone in the morning and probably cancels the order the moment he reaches his office. By the way, hasn't he a lock of my hair?
Yes, in his desk drawer. I brought it with me.
Ah, yes, they bribe my hairdresser to steal from me. It is a wonder I have any hair left at all.
Oh. Is that how he got it?
I can't imagine how else. Tell me, hasn't he left any of my love letters lying around?
No.
Don't be alarmed, I haven't written him any.
Then what made you...
Well, I might have if he had come to me frankly and said, I say, Sarah, will you do something for me? My wife and I aren't getting on so well. Would you write me a passionate love letter that I can leave lying around at some... at home where she may find it? I certainly would have done it for him. I'd have written a letter that would have made you weep into your pillow for a fortnight. I wrote 10 like that for a very eminent playwright once, but he had no luck with them. His wife was such a proper person, she returned them all to him unread.
How clever you are, how good!
I'm neither better nor worse than any other girl in the theater. even though you do consider us such monsters.
I am in a perfect fool. Aww.
Well, you do look a bit silly, standing there with tears in your eyes and your face flushed with happiness. Because you've discovered that a little blonde man with spectacles loves you, after all. My dear, no man deserves to be adored as such as that. But then it's your own affair, isn't it?
Yes.
Yet, I want to give you a parting bit of advice. Don't let him fool you again.
He won't. Never fear.
No matter what you may find in his pockets, letters, handkerchiefs, my photograph. No matter what flowers he sends, or letters he writes, or appointments he makes, don't be taken in a second time.
You may be sure of that, and you won't say anything to him about my coming here, will you?
Not a word. I'm angry with him for not having come to me, frankly, for my position to use my name the way he did.
You are a dear, and I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, no, don't. No, you mustn't begin crying all over again.
You made me so happy.
No. All right, Alfred. You can come in now. She's gone. I'm Katie Watkins, and I'll be playing the famous actress.
My name is Natalie Meekum, and I am playing the earnest young woman.
And that's going to do it for this double feature episode of Cold and Drunk. We hope that you enjoyed Comedy of Danger and A Matter of Husbands. Check out our website at theatronproject.com for all other episodes, including information about some of our other programs going on. That include the Adaptation Project, Refresh or Reshelf, as well as all our Theatron Presents programs. On our website, you'll find message boards connected to each of our episodes where you can chime in and join in on the conversation. You can also tweet directly at us at Theatron Project. Please make sure to review and leave a comment on whatever podcast platform you happen to be listening to. It really does help us. And until next time.